Should Governor Walker have accepted federal money to expand Medicaid? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's State Capitol Report, we will talk with two state lawmakers who will have different answers to that question, and we'll welcome yours too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. According to a new Legislative Fiscal Bureau report, Wisconsin would have saved $206 million in the current budget cycle if it had accepted that federal money to expand Medicaid. Our first guest lawmaker explains why he says Governor Walker's approach reduces the number of uninsured and protects taxpayers. Our guest lawmaker after 7:30 will say that Governor Walker's decision will go down as one of the biggest budget blunders in Wisconsin history. Let me welcome our first guest. Dean Knudsen is a Republican state representative from Hudson.
Good morning, Joy. It's great to be with you.
It's great to be with you, too. Thanks for joining us. So even though the state could have saved hundreds of millions of dollars over the next couple of years, why do you say Governor Walker's decision to turn down the federal funding was the right one to make?
Joy, our Medicaid plan is right for Wisconsin. We provided access to Medicaid for those living in poverty. And previously, there had been a cap on that enrollment. Today, for the first time in Wisconsin history, every man, woman, and child living in poverty has access to Medicaid. And that's a real accomplishment. I'm proud of it. We did the right thing, and we created a plan that's right for Wisconsin.
Well, why wouldn't everybody who is in poverty be covered if Governor Walker would have accepted the federal funding?
The main point here is that we wanted to ensure that more people had access to high-quality health insurance. And we wanted a Medicaid program that reflects our values in Wisconsin, particularly that we value work. And we wanted to do what's right for Wisconsin. I think as we begin the discussion, Joy, it might be helpful if I quickly reviewed Medicaid for your listeners. I mean, since 1965, Medicaid has been our federal program to provide health care for individuals and families with low income. It is not insurance. And Medicaid's always been an entitlement program administered by each state. The federal government shares in the paying for it about 60-40 split. In the first three decades of Medicaid in Wisconsin, we never covered more than 10% of our citizens. And then we started gradually adding to the rolls, going from the elderly, blind, and disabled. We added children and pregnant women. Then we added parents. And not just parents in poverty. We added able-bodied adults that were making up to twice the poverty level. We gave them entitlement health care for 18 years by basis of their having become a parent. And during the first term of Governor Doyle, then enrollment went up to 15%. And during his second term, it surpassed 20%. So we were at 1 in 5 in Wisconsin on Medicaid. And when the recession hit, our Medicaid costs soared, creating our huge budget deficit. Now, during all that history of Medicaid, one group was never effectively covered, and that was able-bodied, childless adults that had low income. And in the last budget, we provided that access to Medicaid for all those. It is an accomplishment, and we didn't do it through a one-size-fits-all federal plan. We didn't make any changes for the elderly, blind, disabled, or children, or pregnant women. But for able-bodied adults, we chose to create a unique Wisconsin response to all the Obamacare changes, and that was to create a means-tested program based on poverty, so all able-bodied adults in poverty are now eligible for BadgerCare for the first time, whether or not they're a parent. And the parents who were previously on Medicaid by virtue of being a parent but had incomes above poverty were transitioned to the exchange-based subsidized private insurance. It's really better. A commercial policy is always better. And by doing that, we support the important Wisconsin value of work. And so it really is the right plan for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that background. But What would have been wrong with accepting the federal money to expand Badger Care or Medicaid?
Our Wisconsin Medicaid program has always been unique. We had among the lowest uninsured in Wisconsin, and we had among the highest on Medicaid in Wisconsin. And so when Obamacare was put together, and it came out of kind of the sausage factory of Congress, and no one thinks it's perfect, but it really has two components. It has for the middle class, for about half of all Americans that fall between the poverty line and four times that much in their income. For them, it put heavily subsidized private insurance available to them. And then the other part was it had a giant carrot and coercion for states to expand their Medicaid eligibility, but they had to go beyond the poverty level to take that money. So you could get federal money, but only if you did it their way. They left no federal flexibility for states to make changes, and we decided that wasn't right for Wisconsin. Instead, we created our own plan, a different Medicaid program, where everyone is covered. We have no coverage gap. You can't make this like other states and talk about a state like Texas or someplace where they've got lots of uninsured and very few on Medicaid. We've got a Medicaid program that's different. In Wisconsin, we have no coverage gap. Mm-hmm. No one's left out. Everyone has either Medicaid or access to a better commercial insurance policy.
Well, what do you make then of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau report that said that this is going to cost Wisconsin $206 million?
I respond to that with two points. One is the most important, in that our plan is right for Wisconsin because Wisconsinites value work. We must not adopt health care policy that discourages work. In Wisconsin, we believe in that inherent dignity and value of work. We believe in the dream of taking an opportunity and working hard to create a better life for ourselves and for our families. And that the most effective way out of poverty is a job, even if it's an entry-level job. Low-wage jobs ought to be an on-ramp, a beginning, where you build skills and it serves as kind of the first rung on the ladder, and then you reach from that to work your way up. And that's really the American dream, Joy. It's alive and well in Wisconsin, and we must not create disincentives or barriers to that. We've got to foster and encourage pursuit of that dream. Our plan supports those entry-level workers in pursuit of both personal responsibility and climbing that ladder. You know, I got into politics, Joy, because I care passionately about ideas. And I'm a longtime listener to your show. As a Republican, I find that I'm a little bit unusual in that regard. Your station is on the Ideas Network, and what this is about, Joy, is a great big idea, and it's this. We must not create disincentives or barriers to work. So that's the first point. The second reason not to take that expansion money is that the decisions we make in Madison are about more than just dollars. And I think everyone can agree with that. And that sometimes doing the right thing is hard, and occasionally it actually costs more. Give you a couple examples. Wisconsin could save money if we did away with the work requirement for food stamp recipients. But we value work, and we believe it's the right thing to ask able-bodied adults who can work to either work or enroll in a training program. That costs us more, but it's the right thing to do. Second example, Wisconsin led the nation in welfare reform. We did W-2. We became the first state in the nation to institute a real work requirement for welfare recipients. Not because it saved us money, not in the first few years at least. It cost us money. But we recognize that dependency on government is harmful both to the recipient and to the recipient's family. So it was the right thing to do. It's the same kind of thing with these federal dollars. We could save money in the short term by taking these dollars. But with those dollars come federal strings attached, and a one-size-fits-all philosophy that creates a disincentive to work, a disincentive to take more hours or a promotion, a disincentive to let go of that first rung on the ladder, to reach for the second, to leave one job for a better job that pays more, but it might mean the loss of Badger Care. This will be the first time that we've really covered low-income working people in this way, and it was not right to take that federal money for that reason. Secondly, in that regard, and it, for me it's a secondary point, taking those dollars would also expose our Wisconsin taxpayers to uncertainties related to future federal funding. And the fact of it is our federal government's over $17 trillion in debt and climbing. And at some point, Congress will face up to that. So our response was unique. We made the right decision for Wisconsin in turning down those dollars, and we've created a Medicaid system that is right for Wisconsin.
We are talking with Dean Knudsen, a Republican state representative from Hudson, about this new Legislative Fiscal Bureau report saying that the decision to reject federal money to expand Badger Care or Medicaid in Wisconsin will cost the state $206 million. Representative Knudsen is telling us why it was still a good idea to do that. And we're wondering what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. During this edition of our State Capitol Report, we are talking about the decision to forego federal funding for Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin and the impact of that. Dean Knudsen is our guest for this half hour. He is a Republican state representative from Hudson, and he says Wisconsin made the right decision by rejecting that money, even though a Legislative Fiscal Bureau report says it will cost Wisconsin $206 million in the current budget cycle. Coming up after 7:30, we will talk with Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling, who says that this decision will go down as one of the biggest budget blunders in Wisconsin history. We have full lines, so we'll get to your calls in just a moment. But your response, Representative Knudsen, to your Democratic colleague, Senator Schilling, saying this is the biggest budget blunder in Wisconsin history, one of them anyway. And I think she also referred to the $206 million that it'll cost Wisconsin, a hidden health care tax. So what's your response to her criticisms?
Well, we've got the right plan for Wisconsin. Medicaid is not insurance. And Senator Schilling and others have frequently referred to Badger Care as insurance, but it isn't. Medicaid's a taxpayer-provided entitlement program, and it's taken an increasing share of our budget for years. It's been crowding out other priorities, including education. And we must, you know, we've got to avoid creating future obligations that are unsupportable. Medicaid's expensive. It's broken. It's really unsustainable. Our health care providers lose money on Medicaid patients. They only get about two-thirds of their costs when caring for Medicaid patients. And many hospitals lose more money on Medicaid patients than they do on the uninsured. On the other hand, private commercial insurance is much better. So now we've got a system where if you're someone who, say, lives in Dane County or Milwaukee, and you're working full-time, let's say you're making $7.25 an hour, and under our plan, you have access to real health insurance at a heavily subsidized rate. You can get it for $25 a month with a $200 deductible, and you're carrying a Blue Cross Blue Shield card around with you. That's real insurance with your total per year cost capped to something that you can afford. And if you get offered a raise or more hours or a better job, you can take that, and you've still got your insurance card. And what you pay each month will go up just a little bit, but that's the on-ramp onto the middle class. What Senator Schilling wants to do is trap people in a cycle of poverty and dependency, and we will not have that in Wisconsin.
Let's take some calls. Ari in Madison is with us. Hello, Ari.
Oh, this is Carl.
I'm sorry. It was spelled differently. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to say, Representative Newsom, your description of what's going on is a polar opposite of my own experience. I drive a cab for a great cab company. I am on Badger Care, as is my family, and we're covered, but I'm partially employed. And if I want to take more hours driving the cab more often, which the cab company needs, and I can certainly use the money, suddenly I've got to pay over $1,000 a month for the health insurance that would come with full-time employment. So if there is some kind of magic road that I'm missing, that'd be helpful to know. But what I'm understanding is that by not taking that Medicare money and by putting me in that weird gap position where I'm either covered or I'm the working poor who can't quite, if I make a little bit more, then I've got to pay a ton more in health insurance. There's a disincentive to increase my workload that is substantial and keeping me for the time being where I'm at until we get saner policies. Thank you.
So your caller's point is that there's a income-based sliding scale in Medicaid in the new Obamacare plan for all Americans between 100% and 400%. There's a sliding scale. You're going to be asked to pay from 2% of your income up to 9% of your income as your income goes up. And he's right that as you make more money, you will be asked to pay more in premiums and also in deductibles. That is the essence of Obamacare. I didn't support that plan, but I find myself in the unusual position of saying that, you know what, that's preferable to an entitlement-based plan where you're getting free health insurance at taxpayer expense. States were given a choice within a narrow range whether to have those people that have low income be on the middle-class-based plan of Obamacare or be on the entitlement-based plan for those in poverty. In Wisconsin, we had previously set that line at 200%. So what he's saying is that he tries to keep his income at a certain point so that it, and he responds to the incentives that are there. And what we're saying is that we cannot create disincentives to work. We've got to create a plan that has an incentive to work. And so I think I'm in agreement with him. He's just frustrated that insurance is so expensive.
Carl?
Can I respond?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's that case at all. I think that the frustration is that there's a gap between the people who are covered because they're below the poverty line, which is where I am as a working American, and the next steps up. And if the Badger Care had been accepted, the tier of people that are in my situation who would be working, making a little bit more money than I am right now, would be able to be covered at a heavily subsidized rate. As it is, I go from having my health insurance covered to having to pay, I think it's $1,200 a month, and I just can't make enough hours as a cab driver to cover that gap. I'd be working twice as much and getting no further because I would not be able to pay for anything beyond my health insurance. I just am finding my lived experience very different from what you're describing.
Yeah, okay. So I think Carl was eligible for Medicaid because his income was under 200%. So that means that to be under 200% for, say, a family of four, you've got a known income. I mean, it's $23,850 per year. And then you multiply that times two. Anybody that was under $46,000 a year and had a family of four, we made the parents eligible for Medicaid on that basis. Under the new system, you'd be on a sliding scale. You would not be eligible for Medicaid based on the fact that you're a parent, but rather based on your income. And just like anybody else that had a similar income, you would be asked to pay according to that sliding scale. And yes, there are jumps, but it would never be $1,200 a month, not for somebody in that situation. I mean, it would become $1,200 a month if you went over the 400% and you jumped up into the top third of Americans who there are no subsidies. And, in fact, Obamacare has greatly increased the expense of health insurance. And that's one of the reasons it's such a deeply unpopular program is that it really doesn't work very well in sum total.
It gets very, very complicated. But Carl, are you saying you're one of the 80,000 that were kicked off Badger Care because you're not a parent, you're a single working person?
No, my situation is somewhat unique in that I am a person who's gone from a higher income to a lower income to voluntarily work on climate change issues. So I drive a cab for a living, which doesn't pay very much money. And in my situation, driving a cab for 29 hours a week allows me to be eligible for Badger Care. But if I work a little bit more, I am told that I will be spending a significant amount of money to pay for my family health insurance. I have two children and a wife, and she is not currently working. So our situation is such that in the situation I'm in, I feel stuck in. I'm a resident of the state of Wisconsin. I'm as hardworking as I can be, given the circumstances, but I would have to be working a tremendous number of hours per week as a cab driver and give up my other work in order to jump that gap that before, my understanding was available to working people like
me. I'm sorry. I just really wanted to get this clear, this situation clear, and now we're out of time. Representative Knutson, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy. We did what was right for Wisconsin.
Dean Knutson, Republican State Representative from Hudson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We just heard from Republican State Representative Dean Knutson from Hudson, who said that Governor Walker made the right decision, Republicans made the right decision to reject federal money to expand Medicaid or Badger Care. This in spite of a Legislative Fiscal Bureau report saying that that decision cost the state $206 million in the current budget cycle. In this half of our State Capitol Report, we will hear from Jennifer Schilling, a Democratic State Senator from La Crosse and ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, who says that this decision to reject the federal money to expand Badger Care will go down as one of the biggest budget blunders in Wisconsin history. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. State Senator Jennifer Schilling from La Crosse joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you say that this was one of the biggest budget blunders in Wisconsin history?
Well, as I sit on the Joint Finance Committee, and a little over a year ago, as the committee was putting together the budget, there were, as you know, an opportunity through the Affordable Care Act that states could expand and strengthen their Medicaid budgets and expand to cover more people in their respective states. We had more than 40 different groups lobbying the legislature on advocating to take that money and strengthen Badger Care. Everyone, groups from religious to healthcare-oriented to nonprofit, were asking us to accept this money. And now, a little over a year later, I wanted to ask the Fiscal Bureau, kind of that Paul Harvey, and here is the rest of the story. And asking now that we have a year under our belt, we've seen what's happened in our economy. We have seen the roles of Medicaid kind of grow. What has happened in financially? What has that meant to our budget? And by asking the Fiscal Bureau for that memo, it became evident that it has cost Wisconsin taxpayers, that Governor Walker and his Republican majorities has cost Wisconsin taxpayers and will cost us $500 million in total as we go into the next budget if we don't accept and strengthen Badger Care and Medicaid. That this previous budget, we could have saved $206 million and covered 87,000 more residents if Walker would have accepted those federal funding to strengthen Badger Care. And really, as we go into the next budget, it's going to be up to $315 million over the next 3 years. So I know that my colleague in the previous half hour, Representative Knutson, I think he sees healthcare, his colleague sees healthcare as a product. I believe it is a right. We have a moral responsibility to cover for people to have access to affordable health care in Wisconsin. And it is essential to be able to pursue life and happiness and to know economic security that there is affordable health care for our families, our children, our coworkers, and our communities.
Yeah. Well, respond, if you will, to Representative Knutson's statement that Wisconsin made the right decision for Wisconsin, that everybody who's under the poverty level is covered. Others are encouraged to work and will be subsidized to get their health care.
Yes. And he used that word right for Wisconsin, you know, three or four different times. He used the phrase value work three or four different times. And first of all, I think the decision was wrong for Wisconsin. It might be right for the Republican majority, but it's wrong for Wisconsinites. It is wrong for our communities. It is wrong for our neighbors to go without affordable access to health care in the state. Democrats value work as well. That's why we objected to gutting our technical schools in the previous budget by $72 million. But that's a different show. That's a different topic about workforce development. But as we hear, he also talked about concern about the future obligations and unsustainability about that money coming in. And I just wanted to point out that Governor Walker's argument against that reliability of this funding had repeatedly been debunked by news outlets and fact checkers across the state, that he received a false rating from PolitiFact for similar claims he made earlier this year, and has been roundly criticized by editorial boards for his false and misleading statements on this issue. And I really think that it is almost unheard of for legislators in Wisconsin to dispute the facts from the Fiscal Bureau. Their word is really the gold standard in Wisconsin. And quite simply, I think Governor Walker is wrong, but he's being too stubborn to admit that his plan has failed. That we are paying more for less in this state when it comes to health insurance, and we need to make sure. We know Wisconsin does better when we all do better, and that means extending coverage to our children and our families and our coworkers here in the state.
Yeah. Representative Knutson did say it was the long-term sustainability was a secondary concern of his, but again said that it was mainly because Wisconsin developed a program that is right for Wisconsin, that for the first time in state history, every person living in poverty has access to health care, and that others that are above the poverty line can still get their health care, but not through Badger Care, I guess, or it would be subsidized, and they would work their way into the middle class. You have to work in order to get your health care.
Well, what I find also is interesting is the Department of Health Services in June estimated that there will be a $93 million deficit in the Medicaid budget. So by going, we already know we have a deficit going into the next budget in that part of Wisconsin state budget. So by accepting this, the federal expansion, that would help us offset those costs. And 23 states have expanded their Medicaid program, many of them with Republican governors. Our governor here in Wisconsin, I think it's one way that he will distinguish himself from a crowded field of Republican candidates running for president in 2016, that he can continue to say, I was pure, I did not accept any of this money. But Wisconsin residents, we pay federal taxes just like everyone else, and if we don't accept this federal funding, it goes to other states. And by losing that money, it means increased costs for Wisconsin taxpayers. It means losing out on jobs that could be created in our state. And it means that thousands of working families, they continue to struggle in really our anemic economy here in Wisconsin.
We are talking with State Senator Jennifer Schilling, a Democratic state senator from La Crosse and ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee. She is critical of the The decision, Governor Walker's decision to reject the federal money to expand Medicaid based in part on this legislative fiscal bureau report that she requested that says so far that decision in this current budget cycle is costing Wisconsin $206 million. So what do you think? What's your reaction to the legislative fiscal bureau report? Has it changed your opinion on whether Wisconsin should have accepted federal money to expand Medicaid? Do you think that Governor Walker should have taken the money or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are getting the second of two takes on federal funding for Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin. Our guest in this half of our state capitol report is Jennifer Schilling, who is a Democratic state senator from La Crosse. And we have full lines, so let's go to the phones and take our first caller, Matt in Middleton. Hello, Matt.
Hello. I just desperately need to correct what both of your representatives are talking about, because I don't think they understand how the system works. So let me explain it briefly, and then I'll have to go to work. So basically, Obamacare was built to cover people from 100% to 400% with the expectation that the states would expand their Medicaid programs. Now, when the states did not expand it, it meant that people under the poverty line, and that's what the cab driver was talking about, he has a family of four, so his income would be higher for the poverty line. So he would be under the poverty line, so he couldn't get subsidies from Obamacare, and he would be left out of Badger Care if he wasn't already in it, because if you don't know, if you don't have Badger Care already or if you haven't been kicked off, there's a long, long waiting list. So you might be eligible for Badger Care, but you're not going to get it, which means that you'd have to buy the insurance on the private marketplace for a high sum of money, which is what he was talking about. And I just wanted to clarify that. And thank you. And I'll go to work now.
Well, I guess you got to go to work. Thanks for clarifying that. You want to respond? We didn't really talk about that cab driver's situation, Senator Schilling.
Well, I think, and when we start to get into the weeds and the numbers on that thing on this, I mean, it is complicated. But I do know that 87,000 Wisconsinites could be covered if we would expand the Medicaid here in this state. And as I am in La Crosse, that's 2,000 of my neighbors in La Crosse. And in Milwaukee, it's almost 22,000 people in Milwaukee. In Dane County, it's almost 5,000. So every community across this state, every district that the members of the legislature represent, there are those stories of people who were removed from Badger Care, who are finding it difficult to make ends meet, and recognizing that some of the low entry work and working for minimum wage, that is tough to pay the bills. And again, that's another show. I mean, we're talking, mm-hmm. we should be talking about that. This is one component in dealing with poverty in Wisconsin. And if people have access to health care, it helps them know that they have the freedoms and that they have the liberties and that they have the security to pursue other things in their life. And the fact that all of us are one accident away from medical medical bankruptcy, but knowing that people can go have insurance to cover preventative situations and go in for preventative health care and screening and tests and immunizations, that is so much a much stronger investment on the front end rather than dealing with people who are uninsured, who come through the emergency room, and we all pay for health care that way. We have hospitals that are seeing that their medical those visits from people who are uninsured, that debt continues to go up. But if people have those preventative services and available to them, that that is something that is providing security to families. And as a taxpayer, we all want to be responsible stewards of Wisconsin's, of the taxpayers' dollars. As an elected official, as someone who sits on the Finance Committee, I want to make sure that I am a responsible steward of the public funds. And I think by accepting this federal money that is now going to be going to other states, that is one of the responsibilities that I have to my constituents, is to accept that federal money and make sure that we are covering more people for less Wisconsin tax dollars here in this state.
Randy in Key Wascom is with us now. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. A couple things. Now, the first guest was right. Under Governor Walker's plan, this is the first time in Wisconsin history that everybody under the poverty line has been covered. The waiting lists were before this went into effect. Now, as far as accepting the Medicare money, there's only guaranteed money for a couple of years. After that, there's no guarantee of anything, which means we're on the hook for it. The other thing is, more Medicare means higher insurance, because Medicare is one of the things that pushes costs up, because they're abysmal at the payments for what things are. They don't pay near what the cost is, and the rest of it gets pushed on the rest of us. I'm self-employed. I'm paying over $500 a month for insurance that has a $6,800 deductible. My insurance has gone through the roof since the advent of Obamacare. So, we're not getting help.
Well, what would you like to respond there, Senator Schilling? He says, he thinks, he just repeated that this Medicare money is not guaranteed for long, and then Wisconsin would be on the hook.
Well, if we would say yes tomorrow to accepting this Medicaid money and this expansion, it's actually a better deal. Right now, Wisconsin, and that program has always been a partnership between the state and the federal government, and it's been a 60-40 split. If we would accept this money, the federal money will cover 100% of the expansion. Then after, I believe it's a year, then it goes to 90%, then it goes to 80%. So we would be in the short run, we would be better off accepting this money than where we are right now. And again, to that argument that it's unreliable, I don't hear that from my colleagues when we talk about the transportation budget and questioning if federal transportation dollars are going to be here in future budgets. I don't hear about it when I live on the Mississippi River and the partnership with the Corps of Engineers and the Department of Natural Resources. I don't hear about it in any other part of the budget about questioning the federal government's word to the extent that we hear it when it comes to dealing with health care. So health care coverage, it protects individuals from being devastated by an illness. It creates new opportunities for working families to achieve that American dream. And I think this is a big, big mistake that we have moved in the wrong direction. And I hope in the future budget we can correct this mistake and we can continue to work to provide opportunities and health care freedom for Wisconsin's families.
Yeah, so how can... What do you mean by that? You hope that this mistake is corrected in a future budget?
We could accept this money. There is no deadline saying that once you've said no last year, you can't go forward and accept it now. That there are states that are kind of evolving, that are moving towards or towards accepting it. There are some that have accepted it, and they are seeing the positive effects of that. There are some states, like I said, there are 23 states that expanded, and there are many that did not, but I think many of those states may be looking to rethink that decision. And in Wisconsin, as we look to the next budget in 2015-2017, and right now the governor's administration is putting together their budget requests, and the Department of Administration will then work with the governor to introduce the next budget. We may have a different governor in January, and at that time, a decision could be made by her administration to pursue this and to accept the federal monies, and that would dramatically change that outlook as we go into the Medicaid budget in 2015-2017. So we could accept this at any time. time. There's no penalty. There is no kind of deadline that if we've said no, we lose out on it. We could change our mind tomorrow. We could change our mind in November, and we could change our mind in January.
Larry in Middleton is with us. Hello, Larry.
Good morning. I believe Wisconsin should have accepted the $206 million and should still do so. This would create thousands of jobs. The prior guest said he values work and people should have to work for health insurance, but the trouble with his argument is that his approach keeps people on the unemployment rolls.
How does it keep people on the unemployment rolls?
Well, if the $206 million were injected into the economy, it would create many, many jobs. Senator Erpenbach has exact figures on this, and it's many thousands of jobs. And so when you put that much money into the economy of a small population state like Wisconsin, it would make a tremendous difference in hiring people who are now on unemployment.
Mm-hmm. Senator Schilling?
Well, and Wisconsin used to be one of the top two states for access to quality care, and now we are moving in the wrong direction. And certainly by strengthening Badger Care, expanding access to affordable health care, and saving Wisconsin taxpayers hundreds of millions is not only a good for the people of our state, but it's good for our entire economy, and it has that jobs component as well, that other states are seeing growth in jobs. So I think what is interesting that in November on ballots across the state, many counties are putting forward a referendum on the Medicaid expansion, and so voters will have an opportunity to voice their support for this when they go to the polls in November, because many counties who bear some of these costs in partnership with the state, they want to send kind of take the temperature of their communities, of their counties, about people's position on this. And if it's, you know, I just see it as a head scratcher that we are rejecting $500 million to come into our state budget, which could help us offset this cost of this program, but would also allow us investments in public education or in our infrastructure or in other areas of the budget. But because of these November referendums locally, people will have an opportunity to weigh in.
Very briefly, since Governor Walker said rejection of that federal money was the Wisconsin way, why do you say accepting the money is really the Wisconsin way?
Well, because his plan will cost us more. And again, that is just, I scratch my head on that one, that we all want to be responsible stewards of the public funds. And I think what he is doing is irresponsible. And by looking out for our neighbors, we have a responsibility to care for others, to have healthy families, healthy communities in this state. And by allowing families to have some kind of comfort and to know that they have some consistency and access to health care, that preventative health care is so important. And by rejecting that money, I just think that it is putting in jeopardy people's basic freedom of health care in this state. And we really need to be able to protect and empower all Wisconsinites, that we have this moral responsibility to do that. And
right.
I think that the governor is on the wrong side of this issue.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jennifer Schilling, Democratic State Senator from La Crosse. This is the Ideas Network.